There is a trial happening in pharmacies in North Queensland that has flown under the radar. I'm not sure whether you've heard about this, but it is causing a fair bit of angst, a fair bit of controversy in the medical fraternity. To talk a little bit more about that and to, I guess, express some of those concerns, certainly from the GP, doctor point of view when it comes to this trial happening in pharmacies. I'm lucky to have Royal Australian College of General Practitioner Queensland Chair. His name is Dr. Bruce Willett. Dr. Bruce, welcome to the show, first of all. If you could just explain to listeners, as I said, for me, I haven't seen a lot of press, certainly in our part of the world, even though it affects us directly. Tell us about this prescribing trial that that is happening in some of our pharmacies in North Queensland.
Yeah, look, so this is a trial to essentially bypass the normal training that people do to become doctors, and for pharmacists not only to prescribe but to diagnose and treat complex medical conditions like diabetes and asthma and chronic lung disease. Things that, while pharmacists are very well trained in medication management, they're not so well trained in, diagnosis and treatment. And I guess one of the concerns about this is it also bypasses the Medicare process. So patients will be fully responsible for all the fees of the medications. There'll be no PBS subsidies. There'll be no Medicare subsidies for it, for either the consultation or any of the ancillary services like blood tests. So patients will be significantly out of pocket for each of these services. So we have some real concerns about it. But principal amongst those is really the safety concern. GPs, essentially, it's a minimum of 12 years or a minimum of 10 years, and mostly it's around 12 years of training. 4 or 5 of those years are under direct supervision. This would involve essentially 3 weeks, 125 hours of training with no supervision to be able to essentially act like a doctor. And there's a real safety concern around that. It would be a bit like me doing a course online and performing an anaesthetic or major surgery on you. I don't think anyone would be very comfortable with that either.
That's right. So we're talking here, pharmacists do a three-week course versus about 10 years or even more for GPs when it comes to diagnosing some of these conditions. And as you said there, some of these are some fairly complex, serious illnesses, chronic illnesses in some cases, diabetes being one of them. So walk us through what this pilot will do from the patient journey point of view. So I have concerns, for example, that I've got asthma, just as an example out of the air. I walk into a pharmacy and talk to the pharmacist, and they are now, in this pilot program, able to diagnose me as having asthma. And then they, not only that, they then prescribe the medicine, which normally there's almost a separation of powers between prescribing, like a GP, and dispensing, like a pharmacist.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. So, yes, the pharmacist would potentially diagnose the asthma, do potentially the breathing test. I'm not sure where in the pharmacy they would do that, and then prescribe the medication. And, yes, there is a concern about this. We know that it's better to have the prescribing and the dispensing done separately. There's two things. One is there's a check, but of course there's also if I write a prescription for a medication, I don't get any benefit from that. In fact, it just takes me a little bit longer in the consultation. But obviously, if the pharmacist writes it and then dispense it, they will then get a second fee around the selling that medication. And we know that that's a real effect. We saw in the UK when pharmacists got the right to dispense eye antibiotics, the rate of the use of those went up by 100%. It almost doubled. And we saw, conversely, in Australia, we saw with the coding going to become a prescription item rather than a pharmacy item, the rate of the use of that halved. So it seems like there's a rule of thumb there. If you do the prescription and the dispensing in the same place, you're roughly doubling the likelihood that you'll get a prescription. And you can't help but think that some of those prescriptions would be inappropriate.
Now, I should mention, of course, that I did invite the Pharmacy Guild of Queensland onto the show to have a chat about this very topic, to not only, I guess, explain why they pushed for this pilot to happen, but also to answer some of the criticism, not just from the RACGP, but also the Australian Medical Association, among other peak medical groups. But unfortunately, the Guild declined to comment. So I'll keep trying to get that Pharmacy Guild comment, that representative on the show, to put their side of the story across. I'm talking to the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners Queensland Chair, Dr. Bruce Willett, about this new pharmacy prescribing trial that's happening, in fact, in North Queensland, which is another key point to make. One of the other concerns, I guess, about this, as you said, pharmacists just do not have the training and the expertise in that diagnosis the way certainly that GPs do, a decade or more of experience and learning. The other issue, I guess, in our part of the world where this pilot is happening is that we do have some vulnerable communities, obviously our Indigenous communities chief among those. That is obviously another concern about this pilot.
Yeah, look, that's a big concern. I think North Queensland being used as an experiment for this is, this sort of lower grade of treatment to filling, potential gaps is a big concern. I think North Queenslanders are entitled to, a full service or with proper expertise. And, I think the answer to filling in those gaps, which is really important, is to train and attract more GPs. And as a college, we're really keen on doing that in North Queensland. And that's the answer rather than, an experimental kind of inferior service. And particularly in areas like the Indigenous population where the needs are more complex, more difficult. We know in the general population that 20% of the population will have two or more chronic diseases, and that's much higher in the Indigenous population. Mm-hmm. So when people have a number of different chronic diseases, it does increase the complexity, and that's particularly a problem in Indigenous populations. So it does concern me that that we're using that group as to run this experiment.
Mm. And we should mention as well that groups like the RACGP, like the AMA, you're always acknowledging and commending the medical expertise of pharmacists. So it's not about having a dig at our frontline pharmacists at all. I think you sort of say here that, look, they are experts in medicine. They're an absolutely key part of community healthcare. So it's not these concerns that you're raising are not about the expertise in their field of pharmacists in absolutely no way. This is, for me, this is really more about, a group like the Pharmacy Guild, like those effectively business owners, which, of course, as I've explored on this show before, you have to be a pharmacist to own a pharmacy. Now, you don't have to be a GP to own a GP clinic. So there's this incredible double standard across those two key sectors. Dr. Bruce, what else would you like to see happen here then? I mean, governments, they are almost in thrall to the Pharmacy Guild. They are an incredibly powerful lobby group. They donate hundreds of thousands of dollars to all political parties, every political party under the sun. I think there's controversy where One Nation received even a significant donation from the Pharmacy Guild because, they wield incredible power in Brisbane and in Canberra. Is there any way that this pilot, these concerns that you're all raising from the GP perspective, is anything going to be done about it?
Yeah, look, a couple of points there. So, yes, this has been driven by the Pharmacy Guild. They are an incredibly powerful lobby. They do represent pharmacy owners and not rank-and-file pharmacists who are a bit left out of this discussion. So many rank-and-file pharmacists are concerned about this, that they'll be asked to do things that, beyond their training. So there is definitely some mixed feelings amongst pharmacists themselves about this, even though the Guild is very strong and very powerful on this. To your second point, look, I absolutely recognise the strength of pharmacists. I have pharmacists working in my practice to enhance services we offer, and that's a really important thing to do. I think if this could be done safely, if to work on ways of increasing the scope of practice for pharmacists, to allowing them to work to the full end of their abilities, but not to put patients in danger. I think probably one of the things I would identify if this study was scaled back to more reasonable limits, and if it was put into, say, regional hospitals where there could be proper clinical supervision of the pharmacist, someone monitoring what they were doing, an experienced clinician, rather than doing 125 hours of presumably online study I mean, the Guild had mentioned that it'll be over a year, but I'm assuming they're talking about doing 1 or 2 hours of online modules a week over the year. So that really does still equate to that 3 weeks of full time. And then just being let loose on the public, that is a big concern. So putting it back into the state hospital system in areas of need where there can be some proper supervision, and also a more reasonable scope around this about what the pharmacists are doing, I think would be the key things I identify. The underlying principle of pharmacists working to their top end of practice, I wholeheartedly endorse, but it needs to be done safely and not put particularly vulnerable groups in North Queensland at risk. I think that's the key thing.
And not put profits before patients. Finally, Dr. Bruce, your final advice, is the advice really then, look, just go to your GP for some, particularly these complex health issues, if you're concerned, go to a GP and then go to your pharmacist to get that medicine dispensed. I mean, at the end of the day, is that what people should really do?
Yeah, look, absolutely. That's not only safer, but you know that there is no additional profit motive for that person writing the prescription. And you know that there's also that second check that the pharmacist does on the prescriptions as well. So that increases safety. So surrendering all of that is definitely not worth it. So absolutely endorse that message.
All right, very interesting debate to have. Let's see how this pilot goes. It just seems that their remit continues to expand and continues to stretch at the same time that the potential for competition in the pharmacy sector continues to shrink. Dr. Bruce Willett from the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners, thanks for your insights today. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for the invitation.